This is the Bonneville Up to Speed podcast. I'm Kevin Ostey, and this is a podcast about all things land speed racing, from vintage small displacement motorcycles all the way up to today's modern streamliners and everything in between. And today we've got kind of a double special episode. First of all, we are here in the tech inspection area for the 2023 75th anniversary of the Bonneville Speed Week. But also I've got a very, very special guest joining us from the other side of the world, Miss Robin Monroe. Robin, welcome.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here.
It's funny because Robin and I have known each other for all of 10 minutes now.
Nearly.
And you've not yet stopped smiling.
Yeah, well, I think it's been like that since I was driving in on Thursday afternoon.
I'm pretty sure it's not me.
Oh, it could be you.
So if the name Monroe sounds familiar, it's because Robin here is a part of the family of the very famous Bert Monroe. So, Robin, why don't you tell me how you fit in that whole scene?
Yeah, Bert's my granddad, my dad's dad.
So, for those who don't know, Mr. Monroe had come to global fame through a film called The World's Fastest Indian, but he was a diehard racer who did like the absolute most with what he had, and the film tells the story of his plight of coming from New Zealand to race here at Bonneville.
Hmm. Yep.
Tell me what brought you here on this particular trip.
I just had an opportunity to come to Canada and the States, and I've been wanting to come to the Salt for 30, 40 years. So couldn't come here come to the States without actually stepping on the hallowed ground. And,
for sure.
You know, and just feeling, granddad probably... Well, a little portion of what he felt, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it is an unbelievable place, not only for the personal connection that you have with family, but just coming to this, a different type of landscape. It's a different world.
Totally. It's like some, foreign country. It is a foreign country to me.
For you, yeah. So what did you think when you stepped out on the Salt? How'd that feel?
I cried a lot.
I bet. Yeah,
and I'm getting all emotional now just thinking about it.
Well, that's what happens here, and I totally get it.
Yeah.
Now growing up, so your home is where currently?
Napier in New Zealand, which is in about halfway up the North Island on the east coast of New Zealand, and so a little bit further from where Granddad lived and was born, which was in Invercargill, bottom of the South Island. Yeah.
Now, this opportunity you speak of to come here today, was this a business trip or just something that you tried to make happen?
I decided that I sort of thought, I won't. And I was a little bit nervous about it, and I thought, nah, just go ahead and book the tickets. So I did. Didn't think too much about it. Just said to do it. And then it was just, okay, I've got to make it happen.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And so your grandfather, if you've not seen that film, I highly recommend it, because it does talk about an individual who basically pieces together this old Indian motorcycle, and nobody really believed what it was capable of or what he was capable of. And the sense from the story of the film is that people never really thought he was going to even make it here and then to run it. What was it like growing up with your grandfather? Did you have a lot of interaction with him?
Yeah, I did. I was nearly 22 when he passed away. So whenever he came over to the States, which he did 14 times, he used to come and stay with us beforehand and afterwards, because I lived in Auckland at that stage.
So he's kind of on the way.
As a child, yeah. I could probably tell you a few funny stories, but what I remember most is the... dinner conversation was always about how fast he went and what parts of the motorbike blew up and how many bones he broke or what burns he had this time or all that sort of stuff. It was his obsession. It wasn't just a passion, it was an obsession with him, I think, and that's I never really remember him talking about anything else.
Yeah. Well, you know what, I tell you what, the people that are here today, it's kind of the same way.
Yeah.
This is such an unusual sport.
Yeah.
And it's not like there's $1 million prize.
Yeah.
Or a corporate sponsorship. So these are the most, I think, some of the most passionate people on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're doing it to prove to themselves that they can do it. You know, that's, yeah, they're challenging themselves.
So I'm going to say those weren't very run-of-the-mill, typical dinner conversations that most families have.
No, but I thought it was normal. I thought all grandparents were like that, you know, all grandfathers were like that, and didn't think anything of it, really. It's just, yeah, you know, even, you know, we used to have reporters that come around and talk to granddad and still didn't really pay any attention.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That would be so cool if all grandparents were like that.
Yeah, a really special kind of crazy.
For sure. Well, you know what's interesting is this sport, when you look at the demographics of who's racing today, there's a lot of people with gray and white hair that are here.
Yeah.
And I think part of it, as your grandfather exemplified, this is not the type of thing you can do at 10 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might take a lifetime of experiences and skills and resources to actually put something together and come out.
Yeah, I admire everyone who comes out here, like, so much, because it's just, I don't know, wow. I'm just really impressed with the work that everyone does, and just the, like, I've talked to people from all over the country, and the distances that they've travelled to be here, and the work that they do on their bikes and their cars, and, you know, to get that extra couple of mile out of it, you know, it's just,
sure.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
So what's your occupation back home?
I manage a couple of businesses, which I do remotely, so.
Okay.
I've had a couple of weeks off, someone taking over for me.
Well,
but next week I'll be working from 4 p.m. to 1 a.m, so that I'm on New Zealand time.
There you go. Well, and that's the other thing is most people here, you know, they run a business or a shop or something, and this is their personal time.
Yeah.
So is it are the businesses you run, are they technical? Are you familiar with the mechanics of this kind of stuff?
The businesses I run are not technical at all. It's totally different. It's a home maintenance thing.
Okay.
I always have been interested in mechanics, etc. I would love to have been a rally driver, to be honest.
A rally driver? Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, we all kind of want to do that, too.
Yeah. Fiddled around a little bit with a smidgen of drag racing quite a few years ago.
Nice.
But not a lot.
Yeah.
My father was pretty much, you know, girls be girls.
Interesting.
Even though I was not allowed to even sit in the driver's seat of the car until I knew exactly how an internal combustion engine worked.
Well, that's fantastic. That must have been kind of frustrating for you at the time.
Well, it was, yeah. But I do remember when I was about 6 or 7, Dad and the driveway driver changing a tyre on a wheel, and me out there, because I just used to love being with him. So I'd sitting there watching, and he was explaining to me, you know, how do I do it properly, which came in really handy. I was out with my nana one day in the middle of nowhere. I was 10 years old, had to change a tyre.
Yes, and you knew how to do it.
I knew how to do it.
I love that. My wife is the same way. Her dad would not let her drive until she not only knew how to change a tyre, but she had to rebuild the engine in the pickup truck to be able to drive the truck.
Yeah.
So on your journey here this time, you said Canada. You're here at Bonneville. What else is planned? Everything else fun for this adventure?
I'm actually have to leave here tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, and I'm driving going through to Sturgis. Granddad's being inducted into the Sturgis Motorcycle Hall of Fame there.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, that's on the 9th, so I get the honour of accepting that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great.
So I'm really excited about that.
So
nervous,
first, of course. First of all, I'm kind of surprised it's taken him this long.
He's been inducted into another Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, I just can't remember which it was at the moment, but I can get back to you with that. I'm here.
Well, but
it'd be easy enough to find out.
I would imagine that everybody at Sturgis knows who he is and appreciates him, and so that's his people there, just like here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun.
He's getting that award for what he did here.
Sure.
He's getting that award there for his actions on the salt here. So
now,
that's cool.
So your family is growing here, you know, all these people that you get to see and chat with.
I know. I just sort of snuck into town and, you know, went there, and then the guys in the hotel next to me said, oh, something, I had an Indian t-shirt on, I think, or I can't remember what I had on.
Yeah.
But yeah, they started talking to me and they found out I was Bert's granddaughter and just sort of went a little bit crazy from there.
So that's interesting. So you didn't like pre-arrange this with the SCTA saying, hey, I'm a legit Monroe and I'm coming.
No.
You just showed up.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder if you got that idea. That's kind of what your granddad did.
Let's just rock up and see how this rolls.
That's right. I love that. Well, you and I connected through Seldom Seen Slim, who's the track announcer.
Who I got a connection from the guys in the hotel room next door.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. So he sends me a message saying, you're not going to believe this. But Robin's here in town, and there's an opportunity to chat. So over your visit here, so you got to go out on the salt a little bit. We're waiting for that to dry, so there's no racing yet. Did you experience the Nugget car show at all last night?
Not last night. We saw a little bit of, some of the cars that were there this afternoon.
Okay.
But I'm planning on going in there tonight.
It's every night, you know.
Yeah,
so,
and going in there tonight. So,
what I think is neat about that event, it's just a little happening of people that might not be, these aren't necessarily race cars that are competing on salt. These are hot rods and customs and fun stuff.
There's a lot of them around town, aren't there?
Sure, motorcycles. and these are the people that also just revere where we are and the history.
It's like the Mecca.
Yeah. It really kind of is. Yeah. I mean, this is where all this stuff started.
Mm.
And to be here at the 75th anniversary is pretty special,
That's
too.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. 75 years. Crazy.
Yeah. So, my mind is slipping a little bit. Your grandfather, for his career, his daily job, what did he do?
He did a lot of things. He was a... He raced Speedway. He was a motorcycle salesperson for a while.
Okay.
So he travelled all over the country. He raced Speedway in Australia for quite a while. He was a self-taught engineer. I cannot remember if he actually had an occupation as such.
A regular job?
Yeah, exactly. Because I never knew him to actually go to work.
Uh-huh.
You know, he just...
You knew him as this?
Yes, yeah. That's all I knew.
That's wonderful.
The person you saw in that shed in the movie, that's what I knew.
Yeah.
That
little shed in the movie, how accurate was that?
That was it exactly.
So that was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so great.
Yeah, I think the one they did a replica for the movie, but it was only slightly bigger because of filming technicalities and stuff like that. I used to go there, and yes, the lawn would be up to your knees, and you'd go there, and there'd be a big 44-gallon drum out of water outside, which you dip all the bits and pieces into, as you know. And and he'd go, cup of tea, and he'd go out there and make a cup of tea, and it was absolutely disgusting. It was metallic, and then he put condensed milk in it, which was sweet and syrupy, and it was just like, no, you don't want to do that.
No,
No, you don't want to go there.
So, as far as the film goes, one thing they took a liberty on, as you pointed out, is that he'd actually been to the States, would you say, 14 times?
Yep.
In the movie, they kind of made it seem like there was one.
Yeah, they had to condense it down somehow, otherwise we'd still be watching it now.
But it sounds like maybe the rest of the film was pretty accurate.
Yes, yeah. Roger Donaldson, the writer and director, he was pretty insistent on it being as true to life as possible. So he had my dad and my aunties on site, especially in Invercargill. Dad came over to be here when they did the shooting on the flats on the salt here. But it was just, it's very accurate, very accurate.
That's good.
What you see is pretty much what happened.
And that's what we all wanted to believe when we watched that film. And it turns out that maybe he actually did a lot more.
Yes.
Instead of a lot less, like you normally see. Yeah.
And everyone always asks me about the lemon tree. Yes, there was a lemon tree, and yes, he did pee on it.
Excellent. All right. Well, Robin, this has been really a special treat to
it's
chat
been a
with
pleasure.
You. I love to hear, you know, somebody's feedback who's never been here, but then there's been several stories of people I've talked to who had family that can't, you know, did this years ago and they traced their footsteps and really kind of felt that presence, and I'm glad that you got that too.
Yeah.
One last little thing that I think is interesting I want to share with you is that when you were saying you were 10 years old helping, you know, change that tire, on the flight out here, a gentleman was sitting in the airplane on the other side of the aisle from me. And he's a white-haired guy, and he's got a young person next to him. And he asked me, he said, "Are you going to Speed Week?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Do you have any pointers? I've never been." And I said, "Well, there's a lot, you know." But I tried to help him however I could. But it turns out that they are from Indianapolis, and it was grandfather and grandson. And grandfather had been to the Indy Motor Speedway 50 years running. You know, that's his thing. Never been here before. And I said, "So what? What made you come out to Bonneville?" And he said, "Well, believe it or not, when all of my grandkids reach 10 years old, I ask them what they want to do." And my 10-year-old grandson said, "I want to go to the Salt Flats and see Speedway."
How wonderful is that?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So the message there is that a lot of people think that this is an old person's sport, and I think if we reach the younger people, they're excited about it.
And kids like that coming through, I mean, it's got to be good for the whole club. Yeah.
It's great for the scene, for the industry, for competition. And it's funny, as I turn my head right there, there's two little young guys walking with a gal that are probably 10, 12, 13 years old themselves. So love to see it.
They're looking pretty happy about being here, too.
Yeah.
Curious.
Right, for sure. So I guess those things that we experience as a child stay with us.
Mm. And, almost definitely.
Yeah,
almost
interesting that happened with you, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, best of luck at the Sturgis Hall of Fame induction ceremony. That's going to be really cool.
It is.
Hopefully there'll be some video of that online somewhere or something.
Yeah.
You get a chance to see it.
I might be able to get the smile off my face after that.
Yeah, well, it hasn't left here yet. All right, well, so last but not least, is there anything outside of your family, personal experience, anything that you saw here that was maybe different from what you were expecting, or any other feedback, thoughts on this whole thing? Because we haven't seen any racing yet.
No. The only thing that really blew me away is the people. They're just so friendly, and, you know, it's just like one big family anyway, so... And like I said, you know, I sort of snuck into town and all of a sudden people are coming up to me and, and wanting photos and they say, "Oh, you're famous." I'm not famous. My grandfather was famous. I'm just here by genetics, genetic connection. But
yeah.
And it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
But you get it.
Yeah, I get it.
And that's more than genetic. All right. Well, Robin, thank you so much for joining us. And have safe travels.
I will.
And hopefully we get a chance to chat again sometime.
That'd be great.
This has been the Bonneville Up to Speed podcast. If you like this kind of stuff, hit the subscribe button and you won't miss our next episode. I'll apologize to whoever's on next. This is going to be a tough one to follow. But for Robin Monroe, this podcast is produced with the blessing of the SCTA. If you want to follow along with that stuff, you can go to scta-bni.org, and who knows, maybe we'll meet you out here on the Salt next time. I'm Kevin Oste, and now you are up to speed.